Harper Audio presents Al Jaffe's Mad Life by Mary Lou Weissman. Read for you by Alan Lewis Rickman. The child is father of the man. William Wordsworth, My Heart Leaps Up. Prologue. The plausible impossible is a term of art unique to cartooning. It is what holds Bugs Bunny up when he runs off a cliff, traverses a yawning chasm, and continues running on the other side, completely ignorant of the terrible fate that, except for a magical momentary suspension of the laws of gravity, should have been his. It is the guiding comic principle, at once thrilling and ridiculous, that lies at the heart of cartooning. This willing suspension of disbelief has a logic all its own. What keeps Bugs aloft, what makes the impossible plausible, is not looking down. It is a talent that 89-year-old Al Jaffe has displayed in his life, as well as his art. Al Jaffe enjoys a special relationship with the plausible impossible. For him, it is more than a term of art, it is the story of his life. A resume of Al's formative years reads like a comic strip of traumatic cliffhangers, with cartoons by Jaffe and captions by Freud. Al was separated from his father, abandoned and abused by his mother, uprooted from his home in Savannah, Georgia, reared for almost 6 years in a Lithuanian shtetl, and returned to America all by the time he was 12 years old. To this day, Al has a problem with trust. Everything is not going to be all right. I experienced so much humiliation that I became defensive about it. I am not trash. I am not garbage. Even homeless people, the lowliest of the low, have a strong sense of dignity. Al wears his dignity like a carapace, a surprising cover, perhaps, for a man who finds so much about life ridiculous. He's always a gentleman, very well-mannered without being a stiff, says illustrator-writer Arnold Roth, who has worked with Al and been his friend for decades. Still, Roth notes, there was always a certain sadness about Al. There were minor chords playing underneath. I knew nothing about the cause. Nick Meglin, who was Al's editor and friend at Mad for decades, was stunned when he learned that such a funny man had emerged from such a sad and humorless childhood. As a fan, I'm as grateful as I am baffled that he did. Unless someone asks, Al doesn't talk about his childhood, not the starved shtetl years in Lithuania or the indignities of living as a second-class citizen in other people's houses. I don't volunteer the information. If somebody wants to know it, they have to get it from me. His flamboyantly perverse youth has made him the man he is today. A satirist, an artist and writer, a raconteur, an arrested adolescent, and an alien. A person uniquely qualified to introduce young Americans to the world of adult hypocrisy in the pages of a magazine called Mad. Chapter 1. The Wild Indian. I was the terror of the neighborhood. Al remembers the day his childhood ended. He, his mother, and his three younger brothers had just disembarked from the boat that had taken them on a long ocean voyage. The journey had started when he said an angry, tearful goodbye to his father in Savannah, and had ended in this big, scary place with a funny name, Hamburg. Was there a place, he wondered, called Hot Dog? The Hamburg Railroad Depot was the biggest place he had ever seen. He was like Jonah in the belly of the whale, a hellish, frightening belly of soot, screeching metal, pumping wheels, and sulfurous coal smoke. Huge, dark engines crouched on the tracks, hissing and panting steam. A wilderness of rails ran out of the station until they were lost from view. If they followed one of these tracks far enough, Al wondered, would they lead to this place they were going called Lithuania? Al had seen trains before, but never so many all at once. His father had always been with him in the train station in Savannah when they went together on Sundays to the Isle of Hope, an amusement park outside of the city. Al could remember standing with him on the platform. He could almost...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?